We're going to talk about a number of things tonight. I hope this will be a help to you and hope be a blessing to you. On the other side of it, I might offend some people tonight. I can do that. My intention is not to do that. I want to deal with a subject in just a little bit. I want to deal with something else before I get to that. I'm thankful tonight for the Bible. Amen. We must order our lives according to something. Okay? We're going to order our lives according to what our friends think, what our mother and dad expect of us, what our husbands or wives or family expect of us. Or, and I'm saying ors here, and it could be and or, what our employer expects of us. We're going to order our lives that way. Now, there's something I have learned personally, and that is the Word of God is true. Somebody says, prove it. The only proof I have is what it did to me. And as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty good proof. Okay? It changed my life. And I know it changed many of your lives as well. The Bible teaches me that if we hear the Word of God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that the Word of God teaches about, we can have salvation. That's a change from the lack of salvation to salvation. In other words, it's a change from a destiny of hell to a destiny of heaven. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big change. Amen? That's a big change. And not only was it a change of destiny, but it was a change of the path along the way. Okay? I was 19 when I got saved. And I was going the wrong path. And God changed that. And I'm thankful for that. And it was the truth of the Word of God. Okay? And so when I come to the Bible, I find something that it's life-changing. How else can I say it? Amen? And all God's people say, yes! Amen? Okay? And it is. Okay? So we have this wonderful, wonderful book. So, if we're going to live our lives according to it, then we need to understand it. Wouldn't that be true? We have to understand that. If you're going to do banking and be successful at banking, I mean your own account, you better have some understanding of math. If somebody gives you money, you're going to put it in the bank, you want to understand how to add. Right? And if you spend some of it and take out of the bank, you want to know how to subtract so you know how much is still there. We need to have some basic skills, so we need to have some understanding. And this is true in all of life and what we do. So there's this wonderful book we call the Bible that gives us many, many things to live by. I want to share with you tonight because one of the things we find is that the Bible gives us many times, not exactly the what we're supposed to do, but gives us principles to operate with. Okay? It's going to give us principles to operate with. For instance, in the banking, the principle is how to add and how to subtract. The actual numbers come at the moment. Isn't that true? The actual amounts are with the moment. And so we take the principle, we apply the principle, and then we come out with the direction we're going, okay? And so we're going to look at some principles. I want us to talk about principles, convictions, standards, and preferences. And I want to share with you something that a pastor that I know, he's First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, Michigan. His name is Dr. Ouellette. And I had the privilege about 2 years ago to hear him preach, or three, and I've known him for a number of years, and this is what he said. There's a difference between standards and preferences. And here's what he said. A principle, are you listening? A principle is a Bible truth I must live by. I'm going to demonstrate this best I can in a moment. A principle is a Bible truth that I must live by. A conviction is a personal belief based on that principle. Okay? A standard is a guidance, and this is his thing. A standard is a guideline, to help me maintain my convictions. So what's going to help me to do that? And then a preference is my personal desire in an area where no principle is involved. Okay? I thought that was a really tremendous definition of those four things. Now, principles give rise to standards. Let me share with you a principle from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 101, verse number 3. You can turn to it, but I'm going to read it. Here's what it says. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let's take that first phrase there. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. There's a principle for us. Okay? And you and I, that's what we are to do. Okay? Now, let's think about that. There ought to be a conviction as a result of that. If I'm not to set anything wicked before my eyes, then here's a conviction that I have. I'm not going to read Playboy. Does that make sense? I'm not going to watch R, I guess they rate them MA movies nowadays. I'm not going to watch those things. And a lot of PG-13s and sometimes G's. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put a wicked thing before my eyes. That's the principle. The conviction is I'm not going to read a Playboy magazine or some similar magazine. Did you know that the Bible does not specifically condemn Playboy magazine? The Bible didn't say, thou shalt not read Playboy. But the principle's there. We understand where we're headed here? Okay. Because there's so many things in life, God just gives us principles. He doesn't give us all the specifics. He gives us a brain to use with the principle. All right. So the conviction that comes from, we can have other principles or other convictions from that. Now, here's the standard that we might have as a result of that. My standard would be, I'm not going to go down the aisle where they sell Playboy magazine in the store. Or similar magazines. That's my standard. The Bible says that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging thereby. That's a principle. My conviction is I shouldn't drink it. The other day I was at Sam's. Remember Sam's Club? And I'm going across the store. I'm at one side of the store. I'm going from the south side to the north side. And a lot of stuff in between I never shop for. A whole lot of what's in between, there's about two aisles of it, is nothing more than hard liquor and beer. And so the place I was at, on the south side of the store, picking up some detergents or something, going to go to the other side to pick up some food items, and where I'm headed is right down that aisle. Now, is there a Bible verse that says that thou shalt not walk down the aisle? No. Would have hurt anything had I walked down that aisle. I wasn't going to pick up anything. And by the way, I wouldn't even been tempted to pick it up. But I made a detour. I didn't want anybody to even see me going down that aisle. The thought did cross my mind that if I went down that aisle that I might accidentally just get kind of drunk-like and just run over and I'd just knock all kinds of bottles on the floor. Those thoughts go through my head sometimes. You folks never do that, do you? Anyways, I just scurried around, went another way. Okay, so there's the standard. Okay, and I set that for myself. Okay, so I've got a principle, I got a conviction inside. I'm not going to do a certain thing, or I am going to do a certain thing, and here's the standard that helps me to do that. Okay, a fellow got saved. Every night after work, he'd stop at the beer joint, have several beers, many times get himself drunk and head on home. He got saved and he realized, hey, I shouldn't be doing that. And so then one night, what happens? He going down the street, and boy, there's the bar, and there's these old buddies, and he pulls in, and I'm just going to have a Coke. And for long, you know what happens? He went to his pastor and he says, what should I do? Pastor said, this is real simple. Go home another way. You know the principle. You've got a conviction. Now, in order to cause that conviction to take care of, be taken care of, here's a standard that you ought to set in your life. Travel a different route. By the way, standards are everywhere. Did you know that? Walk into McDonald's and what does it say in order to be served? I heard somebody say it. Shirt and shoes. Okay. Or no service, right? Yeah. You mean I have to wear shoes in order to get served? I can eat hamburgers barefooted. I've eaten hamburgers barefooted, haven't you? You know? So here's a standard they put there. Hey, that's their business. Why do they want that? They've got some reasons for that. There are certain principles, there are certain things that they want to have taken care of there. Okay? And so all of us, we have these kinds of things in our lives. Standards are essential. You can't maintain principles without having some standards. So you and I, we look at principles in the Word of God, and then we have our convictions based upon that, and then we set in our lives standards in order to meet those. Freeway out here has a standard. What is it? Right out front. You know what it says out there? Speed limit what? 55. If you go 56 miles an hour, is it going to be less safe than 55? Or if you go 54 miles an hour, is it going to be more safe than 55? Some drivers have good enough reflexes that at 85 they can stop as quick as some people at 25. I mean, we got these kind of all the factors involved. But what has taken place is some people have sat down, they've looked at the number of people on the road, they've looked at the reaction times that are there, they've looked at the roadways themselves, and they've come to some determinations what would be a fairly safe speed. And so they set a speed limit. Okay? That's the standard. Now, let's be honest tonight. How many like the speed limit 55 miles an hour? I see one hand. I see two. I mean, seriously, how many say, preacher, it wouldn't bother me one bit if it was 75 out there? Look at those. Doc, you need to preach them. I remember when it was. Okay? But somebody had to set a standard, didn't they? We don't always agree with standards. Isn't that true? When other folks said, we don't always agree with them. But... You know, I mean, as far as, you know, when we're in those places, what do? We abide by those standards. That's what we do. If we don't abide by those standards, we are, in our state, we're breaking the law, by the way. So we have these standards that we have. Everywhere we go, we got standards. You know, a lot of times Christians, they say, well, that's being legalistic. Well, we've got to have some standards. We've got to have him on the road. We've got him in all kinds of life. It's just there. They're elementary. But unfortunately, our attitude, now I want you to listen to this, our attitude that is sometimes found in those who maintain standards in Christian circles is that standards make them spiritual. It doesn't make you any more spiritual because you go 44 than when you go 46. It means you're breaking the law and God's not happy about that. But you could be backslidden driving 43. Amen? Yeah. And so it doesn't make us any more spiritual. It doesn't make a harlot spiritual because she puts on a real nice modest dress and sits in church service. It just doesn't do it. So they don't make us spiritual. We become spiritual when we walk with God. Let's remember that. Now, I've said all that because I want to go back to something we dealt with last Wednesday night. And I want to talk about some principles of dress. Principles of dress. What we wear, is it important? I remember we sat down with Brother Ron Todd and we said, Brother Todd, what do you want us to wear to church on Sunday? We're going down to the church down I lost the name of the town. And what do you want us to wear? And he said, this is how I do this. He said, I never overdress the pastor. And he said, normally the pastor will wear a shirt and a tie. But he says he never wears a suit jacket, never wears a sports coat. It's too hot in Costa Rica. But he'll wear a long sleeve shirt and a tie normally. Now he said, if we get there and the pastor hasn't got a tie on, he says, you gentlemen, take your ties off. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just kind of slip them off and stick them in your pocket. He was trying to teach us something about dress. We said, well, Brother Todd, how did you dress when you first started church down here? And he said, this is what I did. And this is just the way he did it. He says, I went to the bank and he says, I saw how the banker dressed. He says, I wasn't going to outdress the richest man in town. He said, if he wore a suit, then I wouldn't mind going to church with a suit on. If he just wore a shirt and tie, then that's what I probably do. That was the way he operated. That's his conviction. And so how does he cause that? He set a standard of seeing who and how they dressed. Okay? And that was what he did. How we dress, by the way, reflects how we act. Did you know that? Kids, did you know this? It's been proven that kids who wear uniforms to school do better work. You say, oh man, I was wearing the same thing. Yeah, because there's not competition and it sets a certain standard. And did you know the nicer you dress, the more likely you are to learn? Did you know that? It's the way it is. These things all matter. Donald Trump. How many have ever seen him just going through the office bare-armed and just a t-shirt on, hair cut-offs? No, you haven't. You haven't even seen Donald Trump. Do you know who he is? He's a multimillionaire. You never see him but in very nice suits. Well, he's dressing apart. Okay? Well, let's look at some principles tonight because I think these are important for us just to look and stop and think about. Number one, when we think about principles of dress, I'm going to give you three of them tonight from the Word of God. And why do we have the principles are there. Why do we build our convictions and our standards from these? First of all, clothing ought to cover nakedness. Very simple. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Who clothed Adam and Eve first? Anybody got the answer? Who said that? Adam and Eve. They did themselves. God says it's not good enough. Do you know why? Let's stop and think about it for just a little bit. Let's go back just a little bit. First of all, we find that this took place not before, but after they had sinned. Before they sinned, there was no knowledge of their nakedness. There was no knowledge of good and evil. They were innocent. What a tremendous spot they were in. But the first notice of evil, when that came into them, what did happen first was they saw their nakedness. They were wide open to destruction. But their attempt at covering did not satisfy God. They took fig leaves, and it said they made aprons. And basically, what we're talking about here is that they made a garment that went about the waist. Now, when we go to the book of Genesis, we find something very interesting. And that is, in that verse we read, God made them aprons of skins. Anybody remember what the real word is? Coats of skins. Okay. Not just something that covered the loins, but God covered from at least the shoulders down. It was a coat to cover their nakedness. Now it's interesting that we can find something about how far at least this went. In the book of Exodus chapter 28, God says this, and He's talking to the priests. And He says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. To cover their nakedness. Now this is what He says is going to cover it. From the loins, even under the thighs, shall they reach. Now the aprons they made might have covered a little bit of that. But God made them coats that covered the upper portion as well. And down and probably covering, if not most of the thighs. God said anything else is nakedness. He talks about in the book of Isaiah making bare the leg and uncovering the thigh, referring to the Babylonians especially. And he says, "Thou, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." And so it gives us insight into what God wants us to have covered. Okay? Clothing ought to cover nakedness. Secondly, clothing ought to distinguish genders. And I want to deal with three different aspects of clothing. First of all, the garments. It ought to distinguish. In book of Deuteronomy, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. There's clothing that's made for men. There's clothing that's made for women. Sadly, in our day and age, there's a fair amount of what they call unisex clothing. That was more popular, I think, than it is at the present. But we have that. But the garments, what? Men are to wear men's clothing, women are to wear women's clothing. Very, very simple. Okay? Secondly, there's the garments, but there's also a differentiation in hair. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 11. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Okay? So, what does it tell us? Men ought to have shorter hair than women. There needs to be the distinguishing marks. If I'm driving down the road and I look up in the car in front of me and I can't tell if there's two guys or two gals or a guy and a gal, something's wrong. We ought to be able to distinguish between those. So you have what? You have the garments, you have the hair length. There needs to be a distinguishing between the genders, not to be confused. There's also another area, and I hope I don't confuse you in this one, but it's in the area of jewelry. It seems as though jewelry was really, from the Word of God, designed for women. Not that men don't wear certain things, but primarily, listen to this. In Genesis 24, it's talking about when Abraham went to seek a wife for Isaac. It says, it came to pass that the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. A few verses later, it says, it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelet upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, this spake the man unto me, and so forth. We find here that these were gifts to the woman. Interesting, the book of Judges, it says this, and Gideon said to them, I would desire request of you, you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. And then it says, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Many of the heathen men wore jewelry that was designed, as far as the Jew was concerned, for the women. And he says, I'd like for you to give me those. In the book of Isaiah, interesting verse. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now it talks about decking himself, the bridegroom, with ornaments. It's talking basically about a head ornament or headdress. And many believe that it's referring directly to the priests and the magnificent headdress that they would wear. But then it talks about the bride being adorned with her jewels. And so there seems to be this connotation as well. So we find that there's to be a difference between the genders. There's to be the nakedness covered. See? So basically, top of the shoulders, let's just say down to the knee. Make it very easy. It is to be covered. Now, thirdly, clothing ought to be modest. In the book of 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. He says, with shamefacedness, interesting term, and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, that is not to be the objective. The objective in this is that they might show themselves modest, not bold. To where, you know, they're drawing attention to their bodies. A harlot is seeking to draw attention to her body. In the book of Proverbs it says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. I had a very unusual experience. Girls, I'd appreciate you quit your nonsense and listen. I was in, it was 1980. Brother Kimmel was in a hospital in Cleveland, Ohio. And we'd driven all day to go see him. And I'd seen this sign, Holiday Inn, Kids Stay Free. And I thought, that sounds good. I can't afford Motel 6, let alone Holiday Inn, but I don't have to pay for my kids. And as you know, I have a crew. And so we pull in. I didn't realize this thing is downtown Cleveland, and this hotel is like 20-some floors up. We park in a parking garage. And we find ourselves on the 17th floor of this hotel motel. Free for kids. I know why it was free for kids, because they really charged adults a super price. But I was tired. And so we was on this way up in the air. And by the way, a month later, believe it or not, they had an earthquake in Cleveland. And the reports I read was that hotel was rocking a little. Anyways, that night I wanted to go see him. And it was still, I should say, afternoon. It was still light out. And so I found directions to the hospital. And I find this street right away. It's only two streets over. I head east on this street, and I think, wow, this is going to be simple. And I drive a couple blocks, and here's a stoplight. It's a one-way street. It's five lanes across. I'm either in the third or the fourth lane over from the south side of the street. And I hadn't noticed it before, but when that light turned red and I pulled up to stop, there was about 15, 20 women who came out to the cars. I found out that night what a harlot's attire is. And believe me, it was not what you want to see in church. And I was so glad they had just come out with power locks. And I reached over, click, the power lock. And the one who was headed to my spot, I think, heard it click and just turned, went the other way. They were hitting every car. And I thought, oh, the light turned green. And I drove, went up another block. And you know what? They had their lights like Omaha in spots. It turned red. Stopped. And I thought, well, I'm past that. No, it wasn't. That was the beginner's section. For about four or five stoplights, this is what I had. And honestly, I was petrified. I was so glad to get out of that district and go on. What was different? Well, they weren't covered real good. And what they were covered with was so tight, I'm not sure how they put it on. Maybe it was spray paint. I'm not sure. But it was not modest. What is she doing? She's trying to draw attention to her body. Now, as we stop and think about those principles, well, then there's some convictions that I ought to be having with that. And that would be, first of all, just to seek to wear what displays pleasantness. I'll use the word adorn from the scripture we had there. But not cause carnal thoughts with the observer. And I think perhaps the primary focus would be with young ladies. Men are very visual. And girls who walk around with that which is going to call attention to their body is not being modest in their dress. Well, I'm not be drawing attention to that. Matter of fact, I heard it said this way, and I really like this. I don't know if I have a scripture for it, but if it draws attention to the face rather than the body, we're in a good spot. Because the face is really the focal point. God gave you a head of hair, and it's a crown of beauty for you. And I think the reason is God has gave you a wonderful picture frame for your face. But if you allow your body to take away from that, then you're what, causing some problem. That's not modesty. So the standard ought to be we wear that which will promote Christ, not ourselves. Beauty, but not fleshly thoughts in the lives of others. You girls would do well to ask an honest man, what does this do in his mind? Never wear that that's made for the opposite gender. Avoid unisex clothing. There's standards that we set. Now, preferences, I'm not going to go there tonight, but there's things that I prefer. There's things you prefer. It's not based upon a Bible verse, but it's something that's been ingrained into me. But we ought to understand tonight that clothing is very important. It sends messages to people. And frankly, girls, when you're showing your thighs to young men, you're taking them the wrong path. And that can be done by being naked or being so tight. It's doing the same thing. So we need to be very careful in our dress, that we not be hurting each other, because it does send messages. You say, well, I don't like standards. What would you have thought tonight if Mindy would have came and sat up here in a bathing suit? I can't imagine you doing that.
It would never happen.
I know. I realize that. You see, in all of our minds, there's a standard that has been crossed. See? We have them. For most of us, we can raise our standards. And it won't hurt a thing. Amen. Look at the principle. Allow it to bring into your heart some convictions. And then build your standards. What am I going to do to cause those convictions to be taken place? That I might meet the principle of God's Word. We know the principles are there very vividly before we looked at them. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the good attention tonight. Lord, we know this to be a very difficult subject to comprehend. Lord, we also know that there's differences of opinion and thoughts on some things. But Lord, we also know that there's very dogmatic principles that you've laid down in your word. And Lord, we've not dealt with all of them, but we've dealt with three that are very important. And I pray that you might help each of us to consider those, to build our convictions from them, to set the standards by which we're going to operate. And Lord, that through it, that we might have a testimony unto others that brings glory to your name. Not to ourselves, not glory to ourselves, but to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.